Our scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Gospel of Luke chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 39 through 56. Gospel of Luke chapter 1. Starting at verse 39. People of God, this is God's very word. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. So on this Mother's Day, I thought, why not? Let's look at two mothers in Scripture. But not just any mothers. Miracle mothers. Two women who shouldn't be mothers at this time in their lives. One well advanced in years. And the other probably 13 or 14 years old. One who tried to have kids. And the other one who had never been with a man. But little did they know that the Lord had a plan for both of them. So much so that when they got together for the first time, they just sang songs to one another. They sang songs of praises about their God. How good he is to his people. And their two sons would be the ending of one story and the beginning of another. We're not going to do an advanced study. We're not going to dive deep into this text for weeks on end. Just tonight. Just for Mother's Day. We just want to skim the top of these beautiful stories. We want to look at it. Why they both remind us, these two women, of stories of the Old Testament. They both show us of God's faithfulness. That God doesn't leave us lowly, does he? But he lifts the humble up. Both will show us this evening that even when they truly didn't think there was a way, when they didn't know how things were going to turn out, God in his infinite wisdom made the path clear for them. Two mothers whom the Lord was with and took all their fear away. Two mothers in very different situations, but they both praise God in the end. One a song of mercies, the other a song of triumph. And I hope tonight we see the hope in these two stories. We're never in a point in our life where the Lord doesn't hear us. see where we're at and doesn't lift us up. You know, though we read just a little bit of the story, I'm going to be jumping around tonight all throughout the first chapter of Luke, just to get us the context of what's happening, so we can find the hope in this whole story. And the one thing that jumps out the most as I read through the text for me is how these two women, they knew the Lord was good because they knew the scriptures. And we see that in their songs. We see that they praised the Lord for what he had done in the past. So they knew what he was going to do in the future. We see words in their songs that are just flowing with praise. Words we wouldn't think of in the English that are praise words, but they are. Think of the first word, greeting. We're like, okay, that's a greeting. No, in this text, they're shouting this greeting out. They're singing it. Words like magnify and rejoicing and blessing, mercy, exalted. You know, in our study through the First Thessalonians, we heard the word rejoicing over and over again. And we see them. They rejoice in the Lord. So let's start out with the first miracle mother, Elizabeth. Because I want us to see someone who was low, who was brought low her whole life. Yet the Lord raised her up. When we first see Elizabeth and her husband in the Gospel of Luke, it's in the very beginning. It's verse 6. And this is what Luke writes in verse 6. He says that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it sounds so good, doesn't it? They're both righteous before God. They walk in all the commandments. So you think, oh yeah, they're so blessed. They're doing it all. And you see that word, but. Oof. They had no child. Because she was barren. You know, to be childless in the first century was a terrible thing, both economically and socially. You know, if you didn't have any kids in the first century, as you got older and you couldn't work anymore, you were out of luck. There was no one there to take care of you. There's nobody there to pick up the slack on the farm. There's nobody there to help you into bed. It was a sad thing. And think of Elizabeth's sadness. Because in the Old Testament, when you think about barren women, sometimes it's a curse from God. And to have that always in her mind. Maybe I'm cursed. In the Jewish mind, it was a defect that you couldn't have kids. Men were actually taught to divorce women who couldn't have babies. And this is in her mind the whole time. And she gets married, but year after year, no kids come. You know, in the first century, women didn't live much past their late 30s and early 40s. So when the text says that she's well advanced in years, she's probably only in her late 50s or early 60s. You probably shouldn't ever say that to anybody. That's just what it was in the first century. Well advanced in years. We can almost hear an echo of Abraham and Sarah, though, in the text, don't we? They're old, they're childless. You know, a church father once noted that when Scripture announces a barren woman, God later gives her the son in whom she longed. If it's not a judgment to be barren, and God in His Scripture says, this woman's barren, usually later in Scripture they have a child. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, over and over again. And now we see Elizabeth's story. See, Elizabeth is aware that God has shown grace in the past. And now to her, think of this. Think of finally, in her old age, her husband comes home from the temple, can't speak, doesn't know what's going on, and all of a sudden she gets pregnant. This is what she says later in chapter 1. Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Take away my reproach. So her whole life, she's had to deal with people looking down on her. But now, the Lord has blessed her. She repeats what Rachel said when Rachel got pregnant with Joseph. Rachel said, God has taken away my disgrace. And that's what Elizabeth says. One of the weirdest things, though, for me when I was looking at this text, and then when she realizes she's pregnant, she goes and hides for 5 months. She's afraid that if she tells people, hey, I'm pregnant, they're just going to laugh at her. She doesn't want any more disgrace. And so after a while, she can't hide it anymore. It's obvious now that she's pregnant. And now she can just rejoice out loud. And no one... it's going to give her, push her down, say bad things about her. God had miraculously made that dead womb come to life. And then we get to our text, verse 39, in the meeting of these two miracle moms. In verse 39, Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. One of the crazy things we have to remember is Mary's 13 years old, give or take. She's from Nazareth. And it says that she hurries in haste to Judah. You're thinking, okay, let's get the map of Israel in our minds. Roughly 40 miles. She's pretty excited. She wants to tell a little good news of what the Lord has done for her. And what theologians call this meeting the visitation. How precious must it have been for these two women to tell their stories to one another, to embrace, share the news, discuss. It's one of those things. I work at a high school and I see how when girls get excited, they get excited. And I can just imagine these two, Elizabeth in her old age, pregnant, giddy, so excited. And this 13-year-old relative of hers comes in and she knows why she's pregnant. Because the Lord has done it. And there it is. Ah! They're so excited. And one pastor said that they alone were chosen to bear the children of promise. And they were the first to know that God had come to redeem his people. That's excitement. And let's go beyond the two mothers. Who else is with these two moms? John and Jesus. The two babies in their womb. Think of John. This is what Jesus says about John. He says, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Really? I'm pretty sure everyone's been born of a woman. No one greater than John. The second baby, Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. They're together. It's really the first time the two covenants connect, the old covenant and the new covenant. They're in the same room. One's going to end it, and one's going to start the new. Looking at verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. You can see her excitement. She can't even hold it back anymore. She's like saying this to her. She's blown away by what just happened. Not only did she have a miracle baby in her womb, but Mary had one as well. And did you catch how she said, the mother of my Lord? Like, she already knows what's happening with Mary. The baby in her womb knows what's happening with Mary. Leaps for joy. I bet some of you ladies know how that feels when a baby jumps in your womb. Just the hearing of the voice, the Holy Spirit fills these two, Elizabeth and John, and they just jump for joy because the Messiah is there. The Messiah is in the room with them. And Elizabeth's so excited, she says, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. You know, it's to a point to where when she says, why is this granted to me? She's flabbergasted. She can't, it can't compute in her mind what's happening really to her. Not only is she pregnant with a miracle baby, but now the Lord's in her house. A whole life of being looked down upon, hearing what others would say, and at that moment, God had let her be involved in the beginnings of the final acts of salvation. What a blessing for her. And the final blessing Elizabeth gives Mary is, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord. See, Elizabeth knows what God can do because he did it to her. She's pregnant, old. She knows her scripture. She knows God is faithful. And God sees his promises to completion. And Elizabeth is so proud of Mary, knowing how young she is, knowing that an angel came to talk to her. And Mary's like, yeah, let's go. Think of how scared she must have been. So let's switch to Mary. Let's look at this second miracle mother. You know, sometimes we're afraid to look at Mary, aren't we? Somebody might walk by and think we're a Roman Catholic church if we're talking about Mary. But it's the mother of Jesus. She just, one church doesn't just get her and say, nope, she's ours. No, we all get to celebrate Mary. Because if we ignore Mary, we lose so much. When the angel of the Lord finds Mary to tell her that she is going to be the mother of the Messiah, he calls her the favored one. That's what Gabriel says to Mary. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Wait a second. We just heard Elizabeth say that. Blessed are you among women. Are we afraid to say that about Mary? Blessed are you among women. The angel said it to her. Elizabeth said it to her. Think of this young girl. The angel comes to her. Usually when angels come to people, what's the first thing they say? Don't be afraid. They say that to grown men. So imagine this little girl in her room and don't be afraid. He says this to Mary. Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And she's like, wait a second. I'm a little girl. There has to be a miracle here. How can this be since I have not known a man? The angel tells her, this is what's going to happen. And this is what Mary says. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. Doesn't second guess. Doesn't say, wait, let me think about this. This is kind of crazy. No. Behold, the maidservant of your Lord. That word maidservant there means slave girl. It literally means slave girl. Behold, the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. She doesn't even think twice. I wonder if at that very moment, if she truly understood what could happen to her. Right? She's already betrothed to Joseph. That's like being married. Right? Joseph could divorce her quietly. He thinks about that. Or he could divorce her loudly and claim adultery, and the penalty could be death to this little girl. Or she could have accepted the words of the angel, knowing how good the Lord is. And that God was fulfilling his promises that he gave generations and generations ago. And she recognized the will and just accepted it. And we all know how everything turned out, don't we? How good it was for her. Just as God planned it. Just as God told her. So when we look at her song, the song of Mary, it's called the Magnificat. And that's just a fancy word. It's just the Latin translation of the opening words. The Magnificat. This song is just another outburst of praise. But one thing that should jump off the pages for us is she's just reciting scripture in her song. When we sing songs, we start singing the scripture out loud. This is what she does. We see elements of Hannah's song from 1 Samuel. We see elements of the Psalms. We see elements of the law from Moses. It's all there. She knew the word in her heart. And when she gets happy, when she rejoices, she just sings scripture back to the Lord. It just comes out. The very first line, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's like the core of her being just comes out. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. No other woman in history could sing that line, could say it. All generations will call me blessed. Think of the history of the Jewish people. Think of the very beginning. All the way in the beginning. One day the seed of the woman will come. Hundreds of hundreds of years. The Messiah is going to come. The Messiah is going to save us. And now this little girl from some little tiny town in northern Israel will be called blessed forever. The Blessed Virgin Mary. The Roman Catholics have put so much emphasis on her. That we're so afraid to say the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's blessed. There's no shame of looking at Mary and thinking, wow, look what the Lord did with this woman. And like I said earlier, this song draws on the Old Testament. If you know your Old Testament well, you're like, yep, you go through it. And you're going to see God's promises there. Allusions from the Psalms. And she starts off with God's attributes. This is a 13-year-old girl. For he is mighty. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. God is mighty. God is holy. God is merciful. I love how she, how what the reverence she has for God's name. Holy is his name. And then she continues. And now she starts to talk about the reversal of all things. What her son's going to do. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and the rich he has sent away empty. You see this idea of the arm of God, that's from Moses. That's how far back that goes. In the book of Exodus, Moses writes this. He says that the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of the Lord, that he redeems his people with it. And next we can see that no human attitude falls more severely under God's judgment than pride. He scatters the proud in the imagination of their heart. Pride comes before the fall. Pride competes with God. Refusing to acknowledge his sovereignty. God is sovereign, but if you're proud and you're just like, nah, I'm better. No, God says, no, sorry, I'm the top. The powerful and the wealthy are inclined to pride. That's why she says this. The mighty, he'll throw down the mighty from their thrones. He'll exalt the lowly. He sends the rich away empty. Sometimes I can't get my mind around that this 13-year-old girl knows so much scripture. But not only that, think of her audience when she's singing this song. We kind of put her off in a corner and she's just singing by herself. No, she's singing to somebody. Remember who's in the room. Elizabeth is in the room with her as she sings this song. And she hears these things, what God has done and what God's going to do. Talking about the low being made high. And thinking of Elizabeth's life and thinking about that just happened in her life. All those years of being pushed down. All those years of having to hear everyone in the town talk about her being barren. And now, and she hears this song from Mary. And she just, all those years of shame just melt away. So one of the blessings that we see is that the Lord doesn't leave his righteous in states of humiliation. He lifts them up. It may not be on this earth, though, is it? Some people might not feel this exaltation until they get to heaven. But here, Elizabeth not only will bear a son that she never imagined she was going to bear, but this son will announce the reign of the Son, Jesus. Beloved, what God has done for Mary shows us what God will do for the poor, for the powerless, for the oppressed, because his son is the God-man. His son is the true Son of God, Son of Man. And that should give us hope when we hear this song. When we see what God can do with Elizabeth, when we see what God can do to Mary. Remember, that same God loves you. That same God wants what's best for you. And listen to the last two sentences of Mary's song. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Through thick and thin, God has always been with his people. His servant Israel. He promised he would never leave them nor forsake them. Even though they did that over and over and over again to him. He never left. He always remembers his mercy for his people. He always remembers his promises. The covenant promise is that he will be their God and we will be his people. To this day, that still stands if you are in Christ. And the hope of Israel comes to fruition in Mary, where she could say to Abraham and his seed, think of that. Mary's son is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament. And when I read that line, I thought of when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He's discussing, maybe even arguing with the Pharisees. And he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw and was glad. Think of that. Everything that God had promised to Israel was about to be accomplished through Jesus. Through the baby, the miracle baby in the womb. Mary's womb. Everything from Adam to Moses to David to the prophets to the Psalms. Now Jesus. And the crazy thing is, as we can see in this song, that Mary knew it. Nothing was a shock to her. What the angel told her, she held it tight. She knew what was going to happen, who her son was going to be. And now we live on this side of the story and we can look and everything has been fulfilled and we're just waiting for him to return. Doesn't that give us hope? If this little 13-year-old girl could hear the word of the Lord and just hold on to it and know its truth and not have any fear, can we not else do that? Can we not do that? Can a woman named Elizabeth have a whole life of suffering, a whole life of hearing all these things? Hold on to the word of the Lord and be blessed. We can do that. We can do it. So at the end of this Mother's Day, I hope that these two miracle moms give us hope. That we don't stop believing in the Lord. That He does all of His promises. He fulfills them all. Two women that were not supposed to have kids at this time in their life. But God had different plans. One who had seen ridicule. And one who was a lowly virgin in Nazareth. These two women show us that God never forgets His promises. How many times have we said, where is God in all this? Where's God? Mary's song tells us, He remembers. Don't worry, He remembers. These two women show us to keep the faith no matter what's happening in our lives. Both show us that even when we don't think there's a way out, we don't know how things are going to turn out, God in His infinite wisdom makes the path clear. We just have to believe. We just have to believe. So I pray that we do. We do. Let's pray. Father God, when we look in Scripture, we don't need to find the mighty men. We don't need to look at those who have been in the fire, who have fought animals. But we can look at two women. One who was well advanced in years, and one who was only a little girl. But you used them. And you used them mightily. Two miracle mothers who believed in your word. Help us to be like them. Help us to understand that there's hope. Help us to understand that you use the lowly. You use those who get yelled at, who get pushed down by society to do mighty things. You use them in your plan. Let that be us, Lord. Let that be us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.